My name is Brian Kinsey, and I'm the pastor of First Pentecostal Church in Pensacola. I'm delighted that you're listening to this message, and I hope it blesses your life. If you'd like to submit a prayer request, or if you're interested in a personal Bible study, you can call us at 850-477-1100, or send us an email at firstpent@firstpent.org. We hope you enjoy this message.
It's a great privilege to have Brother Jerry Jones with us. He's been coming here since 2001, every year since 2004. And we just thank the Lord for his ministry. Brother Jones, come and preach to us.
Oh, come on, let's worship the Lord together. He's in this house today. It's not just another Sunday morning. The presence of the Lord is here. Hallelujah. Thank you, Pastor. What a joy to be here. I've always looked forward to this time of year, and for the past ever how many years it's been. Right now, I think it's 17. We've been coming almost every year. I think we missed a year or two, but consistently since 04, and we've seen so many wonderful things happen, so many demonstrations of the Spirit of God, so many young people pouring up to the front, and God touching their lives. We've seen people healed and seen people filled with the Holy Ghost, and we've watched this church progress and grow, a great church for many, many, many years. But I can attest over the last 18 almost years what God has done here at Pensacola. And it's been such an honor and a privilege to be part of it. We're in transition in our lives. Thank you. Some of you have asked me about it. The first time I did this, I was beginning my second two-year term as General Secretary, 2001. This year, as I'm doing this, I'm finishing up my 10th term as General Secretary. And here, well, thank you. Here this weekend, I am preaching my last Sunday as General Secretary. I'm done on Tuesday. Oh, hallelujah. And our fellowship has selected a wonderful man to fill that role. He'll do a great job, and I've spent the last month training, and as soon as I trained him, I gave him the job. And so we've been getting free labor out of our new almost general secretary for the past month as we transitioned. We're looking forward to what we will be doing. I'll be a professor. Can you believe that? Beginning on January 1, I will be a full-time professor at Urshan College, teaching young men and women with a desire to enter the ministry, to make a difference in our world, to preach this gospel to every creature. And I can't tell you how we're looking forward to that. Luke chapter 24. I'll begin at verse 13. Luke 24, 13 through 16. Pastor, it is a joy to be in a truth-preaching church, a church that has consistently preached the gospel, the only saving gospel of Jesus Christ. The plan of salvation found in the second chapter of Acts in verse 38. A life of commitment, sacrifice, holiness. It's a joy. We've been hanging around Pentecost, I have, for 53 years, since a 13-year-old boy when I received the Holy Ghost. My family just coming to God when I was about 11. And I marvel at the consistency and the faithfulness of this great church. The times have changed, but the gospel hasn't. Times have changed, but it is still Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. To join hands with that great marching column of truth that stretches back for 2 millennia is a wonderful, wonderful privilege. It's a great day to be serving God. Luke chapter 24, verse 13, and behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Oh, that's my favorite phrase. He went with them. Wasn't a brush by. It wasn't a handshake, and I've got other things to do. But he came near and he went with them. But notice this. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. Now I want to preach today on this theme, unrecognized. God bless you. Thank you. Please be seated. It happened more than once after the resurrection. It's a strange thing when you think of it. People that had known Jesus, some for all of his earthly life, family members, closest of friends, had walked with him, some of them, every day for weeks, months, and some of them for years, failed when they saw him after the resurrection to even recognize him. There's all kinds of speculation how such a thing could happen, but it really boggles the mind. Cleophas and his friend in my text on the road to Emmaus, Mary in the garden, she thought he was the gardener. Even the disciples. Now this one, the disciples, is not as surprising to me as others. Because here's how Luke records it in chapter 24. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them. There was no knock on the door. There was no word, how are you guys doing? They're talking, and all of a sudden, the one they knew had been dead was simply standing beside them and said, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed they had seen a ghost. But when you think about it a little deeper, this strange phenomenon of Jesus appearing and walking with them, standing in the room with them, calling them by name, and yet they did not recognize him. It's not as surprising as it seems, because God has again and again and again, long before the resurrection and long since, stepped beside men and women and young people in time of trouble, in time of need, when they whispered his name in a moment of danger or fear. He steps right beside us. He calls us by name. He says, peace be unto you. And we fail to recognize his presence. In a moment, in an opportunity to receive from God, to get what we need from him, he comes comes from heaven. He comes because of our need. He comes because we desperately call his name. And he stands right beside us. And we somehow fail to realize he's here. I want to tell you this morning, God is in this house. In case you failed to recognize him, when they began the very first song, I stood in the back and I felt something begin to move through this house. In the Bible lesson, I felt the glory of God in this place. In case you haven't realized it, he's here to heal somebody. He's here to save somebody. He's here to rescue somebody. He's in this house. But really, the trial is not while we're in the house of God, while we're surrounded by praying and worshiping folks, while people who know how to lead in worship take us into the throne room of God. That's not where the challenge is in recognizing his presence. It's when we're out there and we're all alone and there's no one sharing our burden and there's no one facing our fears except us. Can you find him then? Can you sense his nearness then? When there's no one to call and there's no one, it seems, to care. Can you realize he will never leave us? He will never forsake us, but he will go with us until the end. Do you recognize him? When you think of it, what powerful thing is it that could rob us of the ability to recognize Jesus, to know him, to have his spirit, to walk with him, and still fail to recognize him? Well, I think disappointment can rob us of our recognition of Jesus. That's what we read about in Cleophas and his companion walking that long road from Jerusalem to Emmaus. They were disappointed. They had high hopes. They thought the Messiah had come. Of course, he was the Messiah of their own imaginations, not the Messiah that was real that walked this earth. They had preconceived ideas of what the Messiah would do, and their hope was based on their own ideas being done in the way they thought they should be done. And when God had other plans, they were disappointed. You see, they were going home. They were giving up. They were from Emmaus, and they had been in Jerusalem, and they had watched him die, perhaps. And they knew everything they believed in, and everything they hoped in had come crashing down. And there's no reason to go on, so they headed home. But as they were giving up, they suddenly were not walking alone, but Jesus walked beside them. When they're about to throw in the towel, he showed up. When they're about to say it wasn't worth it anymore, he showed up. When they lost their faith because of their disappointment, he started walking right beside them. It wasn't that he abandoned them. It's that they did not recognize him. They were disappointed. I want to urge someone here today. Don't put God in a straitjacket. Don't decide it's got to be like this. This has got to happen, and then that's got to happen, and the other's got to happen. Why don't you let God be God? He's been God a long time, and he's very good at it. So if you'll just say, God, I don't know what I need. I don't know what needs to happen. I can't fix it. Then God is able to go to work and do what we need him to do. Don't tell the doctor how to treat your illness. And don't tell the lawyer how to fix your legal issues. And quit telling God how to do his work. He's better at it than we'll ever be. Let God be God. I'm just going to praise you every morning. I'm just going to walk with you throughout the day. I'm going to give you glory in the eventide. And I will follow you wherever you lead me. Pain can rob us of our ability to recognize the presence of God. Mary knelt in the garden beside an empty tomb, not comprehending what had happened. Locked into the here and now, enslaved by what was possible with the human hands, she was convinced someone had stolen his body in the night and had placed him somewhere else. And when Jesus walked up to her, her tears blinded her eyes. Her pain robbed her. One of the most devoted and grateful characters in the New Testament, delivered by Jesus himself, forgiven of terrible sins, delivered from demonic power, and yet she did not recognize him because of her pain. Problems and pain can obscure our recognition of Jesus' nearness. Difficulties can cause us to miss his presence. There are some sitting here today, you're at the epicenter of the answer to your problems. You're right in the middle of what God can do in your life. I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to go out on a limb here today. You don't have to wait till tomorrow. You don't even have to wait till tonight's service. God is here right now. He's heard every prayer. He's heard every hurried whisper of his name. He's seen your pain and he knows what you're going through. Don't be blinded. Jesus is here right now. And if you'll allow him to, he will bring your answer with him. The enemy, you see, would like to convince you that somehow God is against you, that somehow you've offended him, that God doesn't care about you anymore, that God has left you to your own devices. He would like you to blame all of your problems on an absent God and cause you to see not the true God, but a God of your own imagining, a harsh and an exacting God who has no mercy and no grace. And when you see Jesus with nail scars in his hands and a side pierced by a spear, you cannot see the true God in that. Please listen to this preacher. Mary didn't think he was the gardener because he looked like a gardener, because he acted like a gardener, or because he in some way spoke like a gardener. She thought he was a gardener because of a process of elimination brought on by her own pain. He's dead. He has failed us. He has abandoned us. He lies somewhere hidden in another tomb. This can't be Jesus. I come against the enemy today and I tell you, he does love you. He does care about you. He has not abandoned you. He is as near right now as he has ever been. Don't fail to recognize him because of your pain and because of your disappointment. And lastly, Jacob failed to recognize God. This is an Old Testament story. This lack of recognition has been going on a long time. He was fleeing from the wrath of his brother when he lied to their father and stole the birthright of Esau. Mother sent him away quickly because she knew Esau was going to kill him. And he journeyed alone without enough provision. And he lay down at night, put his head on a rock, and fell asleep. He dreamed a dream of a ladder that connected his problems with the sufficiency of God. Angels ascending and descending on that ladder. And when he woke up, he said, surely God was in this place. And I knew it not. I failed to recognize the presence of God. Why did Jacob fail to recognize God's presence? Because he was asleep. It wasn't disappointment. It wasn't pain. It was slumber. Woe to them, the Old Testament declared. They are at ease in Zion. Why? Because you cannot recognize him when it's just church as usual. When it's just another Sunday morning. I'm not talking about snoring and your eyes closed and your head nodding. I'm talking about a heart that is not stirred. A heart that is not in tune. I'm talking about a heart that is at ease and does not recognize these are the moments that matter. This is the hour that counts. Our world is dying lost without God. He is their answer, and we have his presence, and we must not sleep. At a highlight of their experience, when Jesus is preparing them for the crucial moment in the trial of their faith, he takes three of his closest, Peter, James, and John, to a mountain. And there as he prays, the veil of flesh, it seems, is drawn back. And the eternal glory of God that was in Christ, that he was God, veiled in flesh, that God began to shine through. The Bible says his countenance began to shimmer and shine. He was transformed until his very clothing began to shimmer with the Shekinah glory of God. Moses and Elijah appeared on the mountain and they spoke with him of the death that he would accomplish in Jerusalem. But Peter, James, and John slept. When God pulled back the revelatory veil, and Jesus wanted them to know what's about to happen was planned from the beginning. It will not be Pilate. It will not be the bloodthirsty mob. It will not be the soldiers who drive the nails through my hands and feet. It will be my plan. It will be my purpose. It will not be defeat. It will be victory. I will conquer death, hell, and the grave. And they slept. But the Bible says, oh, thank God, they didn't sleep through the whole performance. They didn't nod off through the whole Sunday morning service. The Bible says, when they awoke, they saw his glory. Decades later, Simon Peter writes of it and said, we beheld his majesty. Wake up! God is in this house. Wake up! His glory shimmers in this place. Wake up! Revival is coming to this wonderful church. Wake up! This city will know real revival because he is here. Wake up! Stand with me. And this is why Paul would write later that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than we believed. The night, hear me, the night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. The world hasn't seen him yet because the world hasn't seen us yet. But we're going to stir ourselves. We're going to wake up. God's going to touch your family. God's going to bless your marriage. God's going to bless your finances. God's going to make what you've only dreamed possible, possible. Oh, let's praise him a moment. I feel him here right now. Oh, I love you, Jesus. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. No more begging or pleading. It's time for receiving. No more hoping in the darkness. It's time for the sun to rise. It's time for the light to splash across your life. It's time for you to recognize you're not alone. You're not powerless. You're not unable. There is a God. See, it isn't a question of missing God when we fail to recognize his presence. That's a tragedy. Don't misunderstand me. But the greater tragedy is all we miss when we miss God. When we file in and we go through the motions and sing the hymns. When we listen to the preacher, pray a little while and go home and nothing's changed. Let me tell you what you miss. Glory and honor are in his presence. Strength and gladness are in his presence. If when evil cometh upon us, as the sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we stand in this house and in thy presence and cry unto thee in our affliction, you will hear and help. Thou wilt show me the path of joy in thy presence. Is fullness of joy. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. The clouds will fade. The depression will lift. The fear will flee. A new day will dawn. Just because we recognize. Now here's the key. They didn't have a clue. They didn't have a clue. And when they're walking along and all they can talk about is their disappointment, their pain. We believed in him, but he's dead. We thought he was the Messiah, but he's dead. We thought he would throw off the yoke of our oppressor, but he's dead. And this stranger who walked with them opened scriptures and began to preach to them that this is God's plan. God's still in charge. God hasn't abdicated. He hasn't abandoned us. He knew what he was doing from the day he arrived until the day he was caught up. He knew what he was doing. They still didn't know. Pastor, they didn't know he's preaching. Jesus is preaching his own word. And they don't get it. Man, that's cool. Our hearts burned in us. When we heard it, We didn't know the preacher's name. We didn't know who it was. But here's the key. They invited him home with them. Even when they did not recognize in fullness who he was or what he could do, they said, come, we're not done yet. We want to hear more. We haven't had hope like this in several days. Come on home. Won't you come have supper with us? And he went in their home and they asked him, they said, as if he were the host, they said, would you bless them? Food, and Jesus took it in his hands and he blessed it and he broke it and poof, he was gone. And when he was gone, they recognized him. They knew who he was. And the gloom is gone. And the sky is blue and the grass is green and the birds are singing and they can't sit in that gloomy house anymore. And they flee from that place of defeat and fear and disappointment and pain. And they run back to Jerusalem and they burst into the church house. And they say, he is not dead. He is alive. We saw him. We recognized him. That what happened, that's what will happen to you today. Wake up. Lay aside your pain. Step out of your disappointment and invite him in to your house that you might recognize. How do I do that, preacher? Well, it's an amazingly simple process right now. We're going to open the front of our church. It's not about joining a church. It's not about shaking hands. Here's what it's about. A heart that says, I don't have the full picture yet. I can't really understand why all this is happening to me. I cannot say that I have peace about it, that I'm not in pain, that I'm not still disappointed. But I caught a little glimpse of something. I heard a little of the Word of God. And Jesus, would you go home with me today? I'm not sure I understand, but I see something. Just the shimmering outline of something. And I want you. I need you. Will you come home with me? I'm going to invite you to step out. If you need the Holy Ghost, he'll give it to you. If you need to repent of your sins, he'll forgive you. If you're a saint of God struggling with disappointment and pain and loss, there's things happening you cannot seem to understand. You pray and there seemingly is no answer. But today, just today, I felt something. I sensed someone that I invite you to step out. There's no obligation. Nobody's going to bother you or embarrass you, but I invite you to step out with the saints of God, and we're going to spend a little time in prayer before we go home, and we'd love for you to join us. Would you press in close? The aisles are still filled with people, so press in close. People are coming. We want his presence. We want to know he's near. We want to bring our needs to him. We need his intervention. We need his presence. God, open our eyes today. God, allow us to see what we've not yet seen. God, reveal yourself in all of your glory and all of your power. In the name of Jesus. Reach for him right now from the depth of your heart, from the bottom of your soul. I want to know you, Jesus.
We hope you enjoyed this message. Please reach out to us if you have any questions. We can be found at firstpent.org. That's firstpent.org. If you're ever in Pensacola, Florida, we hope you visit us. Be blessed in Jesus' name.